Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, he comes from one of the best-known political families in the Midlands, stretching back to his father, Burr, and his brother, Brian. First elected to the Dáil in 2011 and was appointed Minister for Agriculture for just 17 days in 2020 before he was sacked by his leader, Micheál Martin, over the fallout from a drink-driving conviction 4 years earlier. And he's just announced that he wants to run in next year's European elections. Barry Cowan, you're very welcome to the
programme. Thank you very much indeed,
Claire. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
So you want to become an MEP. Why?
Well, look, there's been much speculation in recent months. It crystallised when the Commission made their decision some weeks ago, whereby they moved Leash Offaly back into its natural home amongst its neighbours in the Midlands and the wider North West constituency. Fianna Fáil haven't had a seat there for 15 years. I believe they should and can have one. I believe they need somebody, a strong candidate with good electoral success and history and experience that can make a difference and make a mark in that parliament from here on in, and I believe I can do that.
Yeah, it's a big call for you, though. Like, it's a big gamble, isn't it?
It is, in the sense that was one not to be successful and come back with your tail between your legs seeking to get re-elected to the constituency of Leash Offaly. But, you know, the people in Offaly are not known as the faithful county for nothing. They've always remained faithful and loyal. And the discussions that I've had amongst family, amongst friends, amongst the wider community and the organisation is one which says, yes, Europe has become a lot more significant and important than it has been in the recent years alone in relation to Brexit and COVID and the war in Ukraine and the impact and that it has had and the manner in which it has responded and allowed us to respond is something that focused people's minds on its importance.
Now, you've a way to go because you haven't been selected yet
exactly,
by Fianna Fáil, and there are two other people in Neil Blaney and Lisa Chambers who've expressed an interest as well. But say you're selected and you run and you do not get elected to Europe, will you go back then and run in the general election?
I would, of course.
That's the
intention.
All right. Now, I want to go back and talk about your sacking by Micheál Martin back in 2020. So just to remind people, he decided at that time that you should make a statement in the Dáil and take questions on that drink driving offence, which happened 4 years earlier. You refused to do that. Why did you refuse?
Well, look, in the first instance, you know, we want to talk about it in its entirety. It was a very difficult period in my career and, of course, in my life. It did have a big impact on my confidence, on my ability to do my job. And my wife will tell you, it was very hard to live with immediately after.
In 2020?
But don't get me wrong. I mean, I wasn't a victim here. Did I do wrong by drink driving? Of course I did. Did I do wrong when then driving with the provisional licence? Of course I did. But did I avoid or seek to evade the Gardaí at a checkpoint? I certainly did not. And GSOC has confirmed that as an independent professional investigating body. And I accept.
Okay.
But I've made every effort to do all that.
Yeah. But I just want to go back because it's confusing. I was looking back on it last night and I'm still confused because you got the Pulse report at the time because there was a report in one of the papers that said you made an attempt to drive away from a checkpoint, right? You then got the Pulse report and you have always said that is not what happened. But when you shared that report with Micheál Martin, he did feel that you should come in and answer questions in the Dáil. Is that what...
He did. And I felt, quite honestly, that it would be better if it were independent, the facts were independently assessed and adjudicated and investigated by a relevant and professional authority such as GSOC. I wasn't going to hang myself with opponents merely seeking to inflict further political harm on me. And I felt, as I said to you, it would have only been, you know, they saying one thing and I saying another. I felt it necessary to allow independent, professional, investigative powers of an authority that is charged with such a responsibility. And they did that. And it took a while, but they confirmed thereafter that wasn't the case. And, you know, I want to move on from it. You know, I've made every effort to put it behind me. I believe in redemption. You know, there was great shame and embarrassment and I paid a heavy price for it. I lost a job I had worked very hard to get and to achieve and relished the thought of being Minister for Agriculture, but it wasn't to be. And let me be an example to others in hindsight, not to drink and drive. It's as simple as that. Thankfully, I didn't inflict any injury on anybody, but that's not to say I could have. Of course I could have. And that was a terrible, stupid, silly, dangerous mistake that I made. I put it behind me. You know, people make mistakes. I made that one, far greater than many others made by other people. But as I said to you, I believe in redemption. I don't think I should be cancelled outright for all time in relation to my career. I have a lot to contribute. I have a lot to give. And I see, you know, I'll be asking the party members in this constituency to back my candidacy and allow me in the presence of a forerunner to the next general election to allow Fianna Fáil take its place.
As you sit here now, with the benefit of hindsight, was your refusal to go into the Dáil that time and take questions, was it worth it?
It was to me, to be quite honest, at that time.
I remember talking to you on one of the shows here when you were appointed Minister for Justice, and you were delighted.
For agriculture.
You were delighted and you relished the opportunity to go and do that job. Now, in that moment where you refused to go in and answer questions, that's when you lost your job.
Yes, and I accept the Taoiseach has a duty and a responsibility and it has the power to decide and make a decision of that nature as he sees fit. And that's parliamentary democracy. I accept that. I don't reject it for a minute. I personally did not want to subject myself to ridicule and scorn from somebody who hadn't access to the exact facts relating to that incident. And as I said to you, it was my contention, my belief and my wish for independent, authoritative investigation by those who are professional and charged with that responsibility. They subsequently did that. I've moved on. I would hope other people would move on. Like I said, I made a terrible mistake. I am sorry for that. There's not a day goes by I don't think about it. Mm-hmm. But I have to get on with my... thankfully, I had a job, and the job was being a TD for Leash Offaly, which I'm privileged to do every time I get the backing of the people. And I accept that and have got on with that. I've championed many causes in my own constituency. You well know, you know, I talked to you some years ago in relation to the provision of a hospice in the region.
It's
not there, but I was very indebted to Micheál Martin and to Stephen Donnelly to make that funds available, to make that a reality, and planning to be going in very soon. And if I did nothing else in my career, if I can point to that and say that's a legacy, I'd be more than happy to die with.
Okay, I'm going to leave this in a minute, but when you say I made a mistake, you're talking about the drink driving, because GSOC did find, just to make it really clear, that you did not evade a Garda checkpoint. They also recommended that Garda involved in disclosing information from the Pulse system should face disciplinary action. Do you know, has any action happened?
I don't, and I assume that's in process.
Now, how is your relationship in light of all of that with Micheál Martin? Because it was very strained at the time.
My relationship before then and since then was never hugely personal. It was always a workmanlike type of relationship, carrying out the duties that we are charged with, ensuring, for example, since 2011 that Fianna Fáil came back from the abyss it was at that time. And, you know, if you wanted to talk about a personal relationship or some difficulties in our relationship, wouldn't it have been one that many would have expected would have been the case from day one, considering the manner in which he rose to the leadership position within Fianna Fáil? But that's not in my nature. You know, it was my job to get on with the job, to work with him and others,
to rebuild our organisation, rebuild our party. Are you talking about how he treated your brother?
Well, I'm saying that the manner in which he has, rose to power is, in most cases, involves the taking out of somebody else. And that's the way I look at it. I don't hold any grudge at all, nor would he. And we met in recent weeks. We discussed the possibility of this becoming a reality in relation to me seeking to run for the party and to win a nomination. And he's full square behind and understands the depth of my decision, the reason behind my decision, and the ability that I can bring and make a mark for the region I would represent in Brussels.
Mm-hmm. You refused to take on a Fianna Fáil party spokesperson role. Now, was that because it was part of the difficulty you had with him?
No,
or did you want to be separate from him
so you could mark him effectively? No, it wasn't. My reasons for that was shortly after the issue of my sacking. I was coming to terms with it. I was re-engaging myself and ensuring that my office and my staff and the service that we offer in the constituency was as it should be, and that was my commitment. Mm-hmm. And until such time as that was where I wanted to be, I did not see myself having a role, as was asked.
From what you've said earlier, it sounds like you weren't in great shape at that time anyway to do that job.
True, I will acknowledge that, and I appreciate that, yeah.
Do you want to talk more about that, about what it was like?
Well, of course it was very difficult. You know, my mother died around that time too. I felt that I had let her down. I'd let my brother down, who had been, you know, so committed in his role as a public servant and valued the role and the job that had been afforded to me. And I felt some shame. I was embarrassed and felt I had let people down. And it took some time to come out of that malaise. But out of it I have come. Like I said to you, you know, I believe in redemption. I don't believe somebody their career should be cancelled because of an issue like that. And I have worked hard and diligently within my constituency with my colleagues in Fianna Fáil, ensuring that many of the successes that have been achieved in government are ones that we can point to in relation to our time in government. And, you know, work with my colleagues to ensure that we have policies that will resonate with the public, that we can highlight the problems associated with people seeking change and getting the change to the radical left, which would spook the horses, which would spook business, industry, commerce, and leave us without the sort of record jobs we have, the record revenues we have, which are used to help people who are less well off, especially in recent times with the cost of living crisis.
Did you ever consider quitting politics?
No, I didn't, to be quite honest. I love politics. I love the job that I do. I love the interaction with the people. I love helping and assisting communities in my own county and constituency and region. And the good that we can do as politicians overrides any hard luck stories that's in it.
I'm done with this.
No, and there would be, you know, my wife would say the opposite, but she knows the commitment that I have is a real one.
Did she want you to quit?
Oh, she certainly said you should consider quitting, yeah, because she had seen the impact it had on me. She had, you know, our family and so forth. But look, like I said to you, worst things have happened, people. People are in more difficult situations than I was in. I retained a job, a good job, and a job that I appreciated. And, you know, in order to be faithful to those that gave it to me, I had to ensure that I could work it.
Mm-hmm. Should Micheál Martin lead Fianna Fáil into the next general election? I know you previously said he shouldn't.
I think, look, as I said to you, the government and Fianna Fáil's role within it has been significant. Micheál Martin as Taoiseach, to be fair to him, has been a very good Taoiseach, a good chair, a level head, managed the country through difficult times. You know, as I said to you, we have record levels of employment, record low levels of unemployment. We've managed our way through COVID. We've assisted business and industry to ensure that it survived. You know, there are recessions in many parts of Europe. There isn't in this country. We have buoyant receipts in relation to our revenues to be in a position to do what a lot. But
that's
have
a
we solved
that's,
things?
That's a government press release.
No, that's Barry Town's press release.
Laser focus now on Fianna Fáil and where this party is going to be after the next general election. And you know what you're up against when you look at how Sinn Féin are performing.
Well, you know, that's a job of work for us as members of Fianna Fáil to paint the picture clearly and distinctly for people in relation to the choice that they will make. Yes, many people will say they want change, they would relish change, but they get a short-term hit from that. Because as I said to you, many companies, industry, business and commerce and boardrooms around this country are looking at the prospect of Sinn Féin and a radical left government. That's a move to the radical left. That will spook the horses. And when horses are spooked, they scatter in all directions.
There is another
and
option.
I would be fearful.
There is another
I would be
option,
fearful of
Barry,
that, of that.
You know what it is. Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin.
Well, as I said to you, you know, the electorate will make a decision and those whom are lucky enough to be elected of all parties and none have a duty then to talk to one another, form a majority based on a programme for government that meets the demands of respective parties. And Fianna Fáil shouldn't be any different than any other party after the next election, irrespective of what their numbers are, to see if they can play a role in governance. No one would have thought Fianna Fáil would support a minority administration with the confidence and supply. It might have went on a year too long, but that's neither here nor there. The important thing was that the country needed stability, it needed a government, it needed to pursue the policies that had rectified the public finances.
You ruled out Sinn Féin at that time.
And Fianna Fáil in 2011, you know, went to the country, but only went to the country after producing a finance bill that was necessary to start that process of rectifying the public finances. And we knew, and it was known, that wouldn't endear Fianna Fáil to the electorate, but it was a decision that Fianna Fáil had to take for the electorate.
So you're
and it did
clear,
the same in 2020,
that Fáil,
2020 when they joined with
right,
Fine Gael,
so
which was never
back,
envisaged
but, I mean,
by
you're, you're clear now that Fianna Fáil shouldn't rule out talking to Sinn Féin
shouldn't
after the next
rule out talking to anybody if they can arrive at a programme for government that meets the demands that is necessary to retain the sort of management of the economy that you see presently that doesn't spook the horses or spook business, but a move to the left and to the radical left most certainly will.
Okay, I just wonder with your decision to try and run for this seat if you get the selection. Like, does that show that you're distancing yourself a little from the party?
No, not at all.
I mean, did you have support from within the party during
yes.
that difficult time?
I did. I had plenty of support.
You didn't feel isolated and abandoned by them?
Ah, no, but you'd go into yourself anyway, naturally. But that's not to say that I wasn't afforded help and assistance. Indeed, I was, and I'm very grateful to all my friends and colleagues who did that. But no, I'm not running away. I'm not distancing myself from the organisation, from the party. As I said to you, Fianna Fáil hasn't had representation in that constituency for 15 years. There's a lot of issues in relation to sustainability, moves by Europe across various sectors, whether it be agriculture, whether it be energy, in enterprise. And it's important that somebody is there who can stand up for their communities in the region and knows that detail matters, and to question and champion that detail in order to deliver back to the constituency that gives you the privilege of doing so.
I suppose what I mean is that you've been linked with the leadership yourself of Fianna Fáil at various times. Like, this decision to run for Europe, does that mean you have decided or you have accepted that that is never going to happen?
It was never the raison d'etre as to why I was a representative or a TD. I was a TD because I was lucky enough to get the privilege to run by my party and secondly by the people to elect me and to do a job first and foremost to represent them and to get into government to be in a position to deliver to them. If that involved during a period of that time, my accession to cabinet, my accession to any other job, of course, I'd grab it with both hands and be delighted to do so.
And is it in your ambition now?
But at this juncture, at the stage of my life, at my age and my experience and the roles that I've had and the significance that I see Europe playing in people's lives and in delivering to the region, which I would hope to represent, I see a role for me and my colleagues around me recognise that role. I would hope the counties around me and the people within it would recognise that too and give me that opportunity. And I can prove to them that I can deliver on that stage, the same as I've delivered locally in my own constituency.
Now, I think it's fair to say the Cowans are an established political dynasty at this stage. Your father, Burr, Brian, of course, and yourself. So if you were to get that seat in Europe, is there anyone in the family who might, any Cowan who might run as a TD?
No, there's no Cowan who would be running.
Right, so that'd be it.
That'd be it for the moment. Sure, who knows what the future might hold. But thankfully, you know, my children are happy in their own decision and as are the rest of my family, thank God.
How's Brian?
Brian's very good, thankfully. He's in good shape. He's continues to make a good recovery. With the help and assistance of his wife and daughters and close friends, he realised his immediate ambition over the last number of months at a family wedding last week, and he walked his daughter Sinead up the aisle. She was married to Cian Gaynor last Friday, and that was a marvellous occasion and a great family occasion, and I was delighted and we were all delighted that he could participate in the way that he did. He's as sharp as ever.
So he did manage to walk.
He did indeed. His mind is as sharp as it ever was, and his conveniality, of course, is always.
Well, what does he think about your decision?
Well, he understands it. We spoke about it. He too recognised, you know, my county, my region has seen huge transition in recent times. You know, I went to Brussels with Eamon Dooley, a local councillor, back in 2016-17, and the then government hadn't even made an application to the EU for funds to help and assist with the transition of the Peatlands region. There was a possibility of doing that under the coal regions and transition in Europe, and that government hadn't. And it just shows you that that's the sort of depth and commitment that I have to that region to ensure
but
that
Brian
there's 170 million now available in the region.
Brian thinks you can win the seat, does he?
Brian hopes I can win a nomination in the first instance and be part of a team that can win a seat or two seats.
Barry Cowan, thanks for coming in.
Thanks,
we'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.